Lord God, Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I know this will be a very short message, but Lord God, guide us in all that you have us to see here tonight. Lord, give me the right words to say and the right thoughts, Father. Father, I thank you for that opportunity to do this. And Lord God, I know that the people that are here tonight, they certainly love you so much. And Father, I ask that you just bless each one here tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be skipping around a little bit and going to different scripture. But we're going to read the birth of Jesus. You just about have to have the birth of Jesus on a Sunday night just before Christmas. That you just about have to do that. And we're going to read that, and it's going to be similar to what we heard this morning, and we've heard in the last two or three weeks about the birth of Jesus. But I hope we never, never, never get tired of hearing the birth of Jesus Christ. Because look at what a miracle it is that Mary was able to have a child, and she was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit of God came upon Mary, and she was with child. So I'm gonna read this, and we'll go see what happens here. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one under his own city. And as Pastor said this morning, but we'll look at that. This was all planned out by God eons ago.
Amen.
Eons ago. It was all planned out by God, and it worked right down to the T. Worked to the T. And so they all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he that's where he had to go, to Bethlehem, and to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now think about that. We think it would be tough just to drive a car with a highly pregnant woman that is ready to have a child, and we have to go so many miles to a certain place. But look at them. They had to walk, ride donkey, whatever. I don't think they had a car to ride. I think they walked and rode donkeys. And can you imagine that, women being pregnant and going a long distance? Oh, that just don't sound like it'd be fun to me. But you know what, too? If I was Joseph, I'd be worried to death, because this my wife is getting ready to have a child. Who's going to deliver that child? I guess I'm going to. Well, I don't think it says anywhere where somebody came and helped Mary have that child, did they? I don't read it. I don't remember seeing it. So that would just scare me to death. I would probably ran around the barn and said, "When you get it done, call me." But that don't work. But it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." God had this plan completely, exactly as. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Swaddling clothes are just straps of cloth, to wrap up the baby with. And, this time of year, it was probably cold. It probably wasn't warm. It wasn't warm at all at nighttime. "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo," it says lo, not, they don't mean the angels were low, but it says, get your attention here. "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, And they were sore afraid, scared to death, probably ready to pass out. Most of the time when we're studying the Word of God and an angel appears to someone, that person always drops to his knees, drops down, because it's a fearful thing to be looking face to face with an angel. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." Whoo, okay. "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings, a great joy, which shall be to all people," to all people. And they need, it's to all people. Every person that has ever lived on this earth, that good tidings was sent to them. Every single one. What they choose to do with it is their choice. But God sent it to every single person. For and the Word of God says, "And for unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior." Boy, that means so much for us. Think about what that means. That means so much for us that a Savior is born, a deliverer. He delivered us from hell and the grave. He delivered us from hell and the grave. We don't have to go to hell, and we don't have to stay in the grave. We're going to be we're lifted up and gone to heaven. "And for unto you is born this day the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there were with the angels a multitude. A multitude, I don't think a multitude can be counted, of heavenly hosts praising God and singing. Wonder how often the multitude got together to praise God. Maybe that's something that happens every day. I don't know. But a multitude of angels, I think that's what happens with God, is that there's angels, there's maybe people, whatever, but they're praising God every single day. And says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Boy, if everybody just listened and heard that and abide by it, just think of that. It'd be a lot more peace on earth than there is war. But you know what? Just look at that. Anywhere we look, there's war going on somewhere. Somebody's trying to kill somebody. Just the other day, somebody took a car and rode into a group of people and killed 5 or something like that, and injured 200, I think it was. So it's a horrible thing. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Well, hey, we got to go. We got to go to Bethlehem. We got to see this. So let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which is the Lord hath made known unto us." Who made known unto us? It was the Lord. He made that known unto us. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. Just think, the shepherds, they were so excited. They were so excited what they had seen and what they had heard. And then they couldn't help but tell other people about it. And I wonder what the other people were thinking. Are these guys nuts? No, they're too excited about being crazy. They were so much excitement about it. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, that his name was called Jesus, just as the Bible had told Mary, his name should be called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. That's for the poor to be the sacrifice that they would offer. We're going to look at now. We see the baby Jesus is born. He's been presented to the Lord, and now we're going to see where 12 years later. 12 years later, we're looking at Jesus. What is happening to him now? It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him to have been in the company when the day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. Now, just being an old, hot-headed dad, if my son had done that, what would I have said? Oh boy, I would have been hollering at the top of our lungs. And I know Betty. I know what she would have said. She'd been crying and screaming for 3 days. We can't find him. We can't find him. And when she find him, she'd try to kill the boy. But that's not what happened with Jesus. That's not what happened with Jesus. But that's something that I've always kind of thought about. What went through Mary and Joseph's mind? We've lost the Lord who God has given to us to raise. What happened to him? Where is he at? Have you ever lost a child for just a few minutes, few days, few hours, whatever? That's a scary, scary thought. And it could be a problem. And then, now Jesus grew up, and when he was 12 years old, the Bible doesn't say anything more about Jesus until he was about 30 years old. And so here's what we hear and see about Jesus once he began his ministry. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, they looked upon Jesus as he walked, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus. It says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The sin of the world. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Two of the disciples that was close by, they started to follow Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye? What do you need? What do you want?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," a stone. Solid rock. Peter was going to be a solid rock. Took a while before Peter become a solid rock, but that was true, that he did become a solid rock. And the day following, it says, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find him Philip, and said unto him, "Follow me." Take a look at how these people, they're making their living, they're doing different things, and Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael and says unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law of the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there be any good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, come and see. So Nathanael was thinking, what can come out of Nazareth? Can there anything good come out of Nazareth? That's just a little old city, little old town. And can there anything good come out of Nazareth? Just think what come out of Nazareth. Jesus Christ. Wow. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. You know what that means? In whom there is no deceit. There's no cunning from this from Nathanael. He was an honest man. And Jesus looked at him and said, look who's here. This man is an honest man. There's no deceit in him. I wonder, when I was reading this, makes me wonder about, well, I'll just say, if I walked up to Jesus, what would he say about me? Scary thought at times. But what would he say? That's something to think about. Nathanael, it was good what Jesus said about Nathanael. And then Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Whoo, where was you at, Jesus? I didn't see you. I didn't see you anywhere. But Jesus saw him in his mind. Jesus knew exactly what he's doing. Does Jesus know exactly what we're doing all the time? Boy, I think so. I think he knows us. He knows us, and he knows what we're doing. That's hard to understand. Can God really know what everybody's doing at once? Yes, but we can't figure that out in our mind. There's no way we can figure that out. And then Nathanael says, and Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You know, these people, like Nathanael, they had studied. They had studied the scriptures and the Old Testament stuff. They knew what was coming. And that's what Nathanael said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I say unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree. Believest thou shalt see greater things than these. So just think about the greater things that Nathanael got to see and all the 12 got to see. The 11 actually, but Judah didn't make it. And anyway, and because I say unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly is what that means. Truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Wow. Isn't that something that this is what Jesus told Nathanael that he was going to see? That is awesome. I love the Word of God, and I think all of you, everybody that's here tonight, love the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. I love to teach the Word of God. I love to preach about the Word of God. And we are very, very, very blessed to have Pastor George is our pastor, because he preaches some of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard, and I'm so glad that we've got him. And we always need to keep in prayer our pastor. We need to keep in prayer our church. Donna and I prayed three to four times a day, and we hardly ever not mention our church and our pastor, and we're praying for. A true revival to yet start. Now I know that I know we're very low on people. That's all there is to it. True, but you know what? A revival can start. God can do anything. God's going to bring God. I believe that God will bring people to this church, amen. Bring workers to this church, and I'm just looking forward to that. And we're going to have to be prepared. They may want to do. Some stuff a little bit different way. As long as we're keeping with the scripture, we need to be ready to make changes if that's what it takes. But anyway, that's all I have tonight, and I thank you for coming.